Amen. That's tremendous affirmation. The blood shall never lose its power. Reaches to the highest mountain and goes to the lowest valley. Amen. The blood of Jesus. We'll be celebrating here in a few weeks at Easter. But really, we celebrate all year long. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. Thank you for coming today. We know we have some that are working and some that are a little under the weather, but we're glad you're here. And also, maybe somebody's in the parking lot. Others will be listening on the website later, but it's a good day to worship the Lord because He's still King. He's still the coming King, and we worship Him. Let's pray together. Father, it's good to be in your house, to love you and to praise you and to worship you. Thank you for each person that's gathered here today. May the Holy Spirit be the one that speaks through the singing, through the praying, through everything that's done. May we have ears to hear and hearts to understand and then wills to obey as the Spirit speaks to us. For Father, we know it's not just enough to hear, but it's the acting out, the living it out, that makes the difference and shows our faith. Lord, you know every heart that's here. You know every need. And I thank you that you're such a great God that you can formulate what you say to every person in every situation. Oh, we love you and we worship you. We magnify the name of Jesus. And we do thank you that the blood never loses its power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, since this is the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate birthdays. And according to the list I have, Shelby Barbie, April the 19th. Ricky Edwards, April 21st. Charlene Harville, April 22nd. Axel Louder, April 24th. Jason Linker, April 28th. And then the anniversaries are Jim and Janice Hopkins, April 10th. And Tim and Diane Smith, April 29th. Are we missing anybody else? Okay, if you'll lead us in singing Happy Birthday.
Birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you. Amen. All right, so I guess we're ready to move right along. With our hymn, which is just over from The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power, There Is Power in the Blood. So if you want to use your books, it's 132. Otherwise, you'll see it on the screens. We'll do 1, 2, and 4. Stand with me.
Spirit in the blood.
Leonard has, I think, furniture market today, and he couldn't get out of it, working. So I'll be doing the announcements and the prayer. Notice we're still giving our Annie Armstrong Easter offering for home missions. Missions here in the United States, and we're up to $600 and some now, I think. We appreciate every gift, and we thank you for the work that's being done to reach our nation for Jesus. Also, because Easter comes so late, there's an overlap with our Baptist Children's Home Spring Food Drive, and there's lists down here if you want to bring food as to what you can bring and what they would like to have. Or you can give money and just label it North Carolina Baptist Children's Home Food Drive. And notice your Easter schedule, the Monday, Thursday service. And we'll not have any Wednesday night Bible study that night. We'll just have the Thursday night service. And then on Sunday morning, 6:45 for the sunrise service, weather permitting, right out here on the front of the church, 7 o'clock breakfast, and 8 o'clock worship. So we look forward to that. Now, a few weeks ago, when the war in Ukraine started, I brought up the fact that our North Carolina Baptist on mission was ministering over there. And so I got an email today, or one day this week, about some of their work. And do you have a video?
Yes, I do.
So Jeff's going to show us a little video of what's going on. Our North Carolina Baptist, now this isn't some other group, North Carolina Baptist are doing in the Ukraine.
We never thought, North Carolina Baptist, that it would be under the title Ukraine Crisis that God would call us to stand up and take action. But He has prepared us for this point through many years, and we can see the history that He has connected us to this place for this time. Here I am, a missionary to Hungarian-speaking people in the very last county of Hungary before you get to the Ukrainian border. And I'm so thankful to all North Carolina Baptists for your partnership over the years, for standing up for this time and joining us in ministry. Here I am at a help center that our partner organization, Hungarian Baptist Aid, has set up right at the border to make sure that refugees, the moment they step into the country, are given a sandwich, a smile, a cup of coffee. Already we've had many volunteers come and help in these efforts. Hungarian Baptist Aid also has a logistics center set up in the heart of Hungary that's managing all of the donations here locally. In the movement of people and items, North Carolina Baptist dollars are making a huge difference, tanking up minivans and buses to transport people and things. Thank you for these. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving, and thank you for your prayers. Pray for God's message to be delivered to these people in need right now. Every refugee and every volunteer, whether it's a Hungarian or a Ukrainian or an American, because working together is making a difference here among the crisis that we see day to day. And we pray that through these crises, God's name would be glorified and many people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and might be relieved not only of the physical crisis here, but the crisis of their soul and come to be a member of our heavenly kingdom.
Also in the text that I got, and if that was big enough, we could read it, but they talked about that North Carolina Baptist on missions have sent tons of flour and yeast and salt to some bakeries in the Ukraine, and they're baking loaves of bread, because a lot of those people, I mean, you know, you see all the burned out, bombed out places, you can't cook in a bombed out building. And so they're making these loaves of bread, and then they said some kind of, like we'd eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but they said some kind of sausage paste, maybe like deviled ham or something, you know, or spam, I don't know. But said it's a local favorite, and so they give them a jar of that, a loaf of bread, and a piece, part of a piece of cake, and said that will feed a person for a day for $2. And so there's still some of the papers here that will tell you if you're interested in giving. Now I realize, let's see how I want to say this. I hate people twisting my arm. My recycle box is full of appeals letters from political parties and everybody else under the sun that wants my money. But I like to give when the Holy Spirit leads me to give. And so that, and I know that for some of you, with high gas prices and high food prices, you're already searching around in the couch for enough coins to make it. But if the Holy Spirit leads you to give to the, Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong Easter offering, or to the food drive for the children's home, or to North Carolina Baptist on mission, do it. You know, the Bible says, what a man sows, that he reaps. There's always a harvest. So there's three ways and three opportunities for you to give. Let me mention one other thing while I'm doing the announcements. Appreciate all the folks that showed up yesterday to work. And we appreciate McCord and Jeremy working in the bathrooms and other areas. And then there was a big group that were out there working on the ramp. And if you haven't seen it, it looks, I'll say, at least 998% better. And we appreciate every person. And I know some of your health wouldn't permit you to come, or your work schedule wouldn't permit you to come. I understand the power was off over in this area yesterday morning, so somebody may have planned on coming and your alarm clock didn't go off. So anyway, we appreciate the work. Now, I thought it was interesting. I went home and flipped open my phone to see my latest messages. And there was a newsletter from a guy that Pam and I have met named Doug Dennis. Now, he's an independent missionary who works in South America in the countries of Colombia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. Back with the mountain tribes. And they've just been, and part of this newsletter was about building a new church. Now, don't picture Barbie's Grove. Picture a tractor shed or something, you know. Post, big post in the ground, something to hold them all together, and then a roof. And he said it took, and the roof is palm leaves. And it said it took 6,000 palm leaves to roof that place. And he says, you know, the church members, just like y'all working yesterday, were all over the mountainside climbing palm trees. See, that leaves me and you out, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Climbing trees, cutting off palm leaves, and then carrying them back to the building site and putting them on the roof of the church. And I thought, you know, they have work days just like we do. And the picture in the newsletter is about this big on my phone, but it looked like there's 300 or 400 people in that building. And Dennis also said, or Doug also said, that this week he's sending out 16 teams, or sending out teams to 16 new tribes back in those mountains. People where the gospel has never been. And I was thinking about that as I drove to church this morning, and I thought, what if one of those tribes is the last one that needs to hear the gospel before Jesus comes? And what if this month that last tribe heard the gospel and the trumpet blew and this was the end? Something to think about. Pam and I try to send Doug a few dollars once in a while when we have a little extra. And anybody that ever gets interested, let me know and we'll tell you how to send him some money. But like I said, I hate arm twisted. So it's between you and the Holy Spirit. All right. On the back of the bulletin, there are a lot of people on the prayer list. Anybody special you want to add to that list?
So I'm trying to find that information out, and we'll add it to the bulletin to reach out to Mary, whether it's a phone, an address, or however. But that was two updates I had for Mary, and then we can remove Cindy.
All right. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Let's pray together. Fathers, we bow before you this morning again. First, I want to lift up this prayer list. People that have special physical needs or emotional needs because of deaths, hospitalizations. Father, I thank you that when prayers are answered and folks recover, I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit to comfort and give peace as folks go through the time of struggle. And Father, I pray for caregivers who spend days and hours and weeks and months and sometimes years looking after spouses or parents, brothers or sisters. I pray that you'll give them strength as they minister to one another. And Father, I pray for those that are in missionary work. I think about our Southern Baptist home missionaries that we support. I pray that you'll give them wisdom. I pray that you'll give them stamina. I pray that you'll give them an anointing to reach this nation for Jesus. Father, I thank you for the work that our Baptist Children's Home is doing, hurting children. They're being fed and talked about Jesus. They're being loved. Father, I thank you that for the work that our North Carolina missions group are doing all over the nation and really all over the world. I pray that you'll protect them. I pray that you'll give them all the resources that they'll need to minister to the hurting people in the Ukraine. And in those who have been refugees and are now in Poland or some other country. Father, I thank you for some people that I know personally who are in the Ukraine. They live here in the States, but they're over there ministering right now. I pray that you'll protect them. I pray that you'll give them anointing and wisdom as they minister. And Father, I thank you for the work that Doug Dennis does in South America, reaching people that nobody else has tried to reach. Sometimes crossing rivers, climbing mountains, no roads, just walking or mules. Father, I pray that you'll give him anointing, and I pray that he'll reach every tribe possible so that they might at least have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. Father, today we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we study your word. May it be your word taught by your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together this morning for our special hymn of praise, I Love You, Lord. And this is not an unfamiliar. It's been in our hymn book. I think everybody will catch right on. It's quite repetitive. But again, we don't know all of these real loud, so just bear with us. We're going to get them. We're going to enjoy them as we go. And Jeff has it ready to come up on our screens. So let's just stand and just love the Lord while we worship together.
Children's Church. You remember last week I said that we were going to talk about the crucifixion, those final days of the life of Christ, but we're going to do it from the Old Testament. And so last week we looked in Exodus about the Passover and how the blood protected them. Today we're going to continue that thought in a different scripture. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to predict how the world's going to be in 2722? How accurate do you think you'd be? Will we be driving our own little helicopter, or will we be doing like Star Trek, just stand there and push a button and we'll dissolve and reconstitute over there somewhere else? Will we still be growing gardens, or will we go there like again like Star Trek and say, I believe I'd like to have some bacon and eggs. Choop, and it pops out on a plate. And yet, when you look at the Old Testament, and we're going to look in Isaiah 53 in a moment, he's about 700 years before Jesus. And how accurate he is. I was doing a little research yesterday about this. And the research I was doing said that there's at least 60 or 61 prophecies specifically about Jesus in the Old Testament that were all fulfilled in the New Testament in the life of Jesus. And the person went on to say that just for 8 of them to be fulfilled is on the chance, you know, if you were gambling and betting, is one chance in 10 to the 17th power. In other words, that's one chance in 10 and in 17 zeros. That's what, 6 zeros for a million? 9 zeros for a billion? 12 zeros for a trillion? I don't know what comes out of that. Some of you rich people have to tell me. The person went on to say, for 48 of them to be fulfilled in Jesus, Old Testament prophecies to be fulfilled in Jesus, is 1 in 10 and 157 zeros. Like Rita was saying in the Sunday school lesson, people that don't get that Jesus is the Messiah just aren't looking. They're not paying attention to the evidence. I mean, it's so obvious. When you go back to the 1 to the 17th power, they said that's like taking the state of Texas, putting 2 feet worth of silver dollars all over the whole state, marking one of them with some special mark on it, putting a blind man in there and say, go pick up the right one. The silver dollars, 2 feet deep, all over the state of Texas, one marked, he's blind, he's supposed to pick up the right one. Folks, the Old Testament tells us about Jesus, and the New Testament affirms it, backs it up, says, yeah, these old boys got it right. Now, it's obvious they didn't have a clue. They were just following the inspiration and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And one of the marvelous things is some of the things that they talk about, especially with the crucifixion. Did you realize crucifixion hadn't even been thought up yet when these guys in the Old Testament were writing? That's just like you predicting the electric chair, the gas chamber, before there was electricity or before there was any kind of gas that would do somebody in. Before there was ever a practice of crucifixion, these guys were predicting it, prophesying it. Only the Holy Spirit knew what was coming all those years in advance. And so what we're reading here is words that Isaiah surely couldn't have all understood, and yet he wrote what the Holy Spirit gave him. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness where we shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. A root out of dry ground. When Jesus came, most of the world worshiped idols. And every nation had its own idols. It's just like the religious climate was dry, dusty. You remember when Paul went to Athens, he says, boys, I see y'all got so many gods. You know, you just walk down the street and this god, this god, this goddess, this god, this goddess, this goddess. And he says, y'all afraid going to miss one? You even got a statue to the unknown god. And the Jews, they had that religion, but no relationship. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, it says this in verse 7 through 9, the people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And then another verse, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. You see, that's the climate. That's the dry ground that Jesus came. He came into a world that was spiritually dry, dusty, bankrupt, pitiful. However you want to say it, it just wasn't much. And that's when Jesus came. You know, Paul in Galatians says, in the fullness of time, at just the right moment, God sent his son. In verse 3, he said, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Over in Matthew 27, verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Rejected. The Gospel of John says he came into his own, and his own received him not. Isaiah says he was rejected. He wasn't wanted. He was unloved. Again, this morning Sunday school lesson. They hate me because they don't know me and they don't know my Father. Amazing. Jesus shows up. He feeds the multitudes. He heals the sick, he casts out devils, he raises the dead. And they hate him. They crucify him. Isaiah says he's going to be despised and rejected. You think about the days of the last day, the crown of thorns, plucking out his beard, spitting in his face, blindfolded and hitting him with a stick of some kind, saying, prophesy and tell us who hit you. Despised and rejected, Isaiah said. And that's exactly what happened. And then when you get verses 5 and 6, 8 and 12, he talks about why Jesus came. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil that with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. Notice how many times there it talks about Jesus died for our sin. Jesus died for our sin. He took our sin upon him. And of course, the whole New Testament talks about our forgiveness that comes through Jesus. You know, one of the interesting events in the life of Jesus was when he was teaching and the house was so crowded that these guys couldn't get their sick friend to him. So they climb up on the roof, they tear a hole in the roof, they let the man down right in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Son, your sins are forgiven. Who is he thinking he can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. And boy, they got bent out of shape. And Jesus says, well, hey, what's the big deal? Is it easier to say, son, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk? So I say, buddy, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the guy jumps up, rolls up his pallet, and goes out. Jesus was saying to us, I have God the Father's authority to forgive your sin. Now, I'm glad somebody could forgive my sin. And I think if most of us would realize where we were and all we've done since the time we got old enough to know what was right and wrong, we'd say, pretty big pile. Even those of us that grew up in church and we didn't do a lot of rabble-rousing, we still insulted enough people, said enough ugly, hateful words that we got a pretty big pile of sin. I'm glad somebody can forgive me. And I'm glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives that forgiveness. And I'm glad that the Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our sin. That he's cast them into his sea of forgetfulness. Now the devil will remind you from time to time. You remember what you did when you were 12 years old? 18 years old? 27 years old? And you take it to the Lord said, I don't remember that. He chooses not to remember it. It's not that God's got a faulty memory. It's not that God's got Alzheimer's or something. God chooses not to remember the sin that you have confessed. It's all under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Lord, Isaiah, 700 years, says, he took our iniquities. He took our sin. He uses a word like sin and iniquity and transgressions. And notice there in verse 5, we skipped. No, we didn't, but we skipped 4, but we'll come back to that in a minute. With his stripes we are healed. Remember, he was pierced. The soldier took the spear and stuck it in his side. And we'll talk about that more next week, Lord willing. all of our sin and all of our evil, Jesus took it. And Isaiah was saying, that's going to happen. Now, the marvelous thing about this is, it was permanent. Now remember, the Jewish religion, with their series and forms of sacrifice, where you brought a dove, or you brought a ram, or you brought a bull or whatever to sacrifice, they had to do it every year. And keep on doing it every year, and keep on doing it every year, because it's sort of like a down payment on it. But in after Jesus died, it says, this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down forever. It's all said and done. It's over with, because Jesus doesn't have to do it again. He doesn't have to keep dying. One sin, one sacrifice, and Jesus took care of it forever. Now look at verse 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You remember the trial before Pilate? It says Jesus didn't say anything. Now you know what normal people would do. I'm not guilty. I was framed. You got to let me go. You guys that are in law enforcement, you know sometimes you got the guy with the gun in his hand and he says, I'm not guilty. I just happened to pick this gun up. It was laying on the floor or the ground or something, you know. But it says Jesus didn't open his mouth. Finally, Pilate gets real frustrated. He says, man, don't you know who I am? I decide whether you're going to live or die. And Jesus said, hey, you didn't have any power at all if my heavenly Father didn't give it to you. Really frustrated Pilate that Jesus wouldn't open his mouth. Now, as beautiful and strong a teacher as Jesus was, he could have probably talked Pilate out of it. But Jesus made no defense. And Isaiah said, that's the way it's going to be 700 years before Jesus ever went on trial. Awesome. Isaiah prophesied it. Verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. You remember when they crucified him? Two criminals, one on each side. And then, for his death, his burial, in Matthew 27, verse 38, then there were two thieves crucified with him on the right hand and the other on the left. And then in verse 57, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Now, Isaiah said he's made his grave with the rich. Matthew tells us that this rich man buried Jesus in his own tomb. Is that not an awesome truth? That 700 years earlier. Then in verse 12, the last phrase of chapter 53, he made intercession for the transgressors. Now think about that. First, one of the men being crucified with him made a plea, and Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." But even greater than that, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." He made intercession for the transgressors. I mean, he's hanging on the cross. He's in agony. He's in pain. They have horribly mistreated him. Horribly mistreated him. Crown of thorns, he's whipped, he's crucified. They're down there, you remember the story? He saved others. Why don't he save himself? Come down off of that cross and we'll believe in you. Father, forgive them. They're not aware of what they're doing. Now that's love. That's God's love. When he can hang on that cross with all that he's endured in the last 24 hours and say, "Father, forgive them." Isaiah says he's going to forgive them 700 years before it ever happened. Now just hold your place there for a minute and flip over to the book of Amos chapter 8. Verse 9. Amos chapter 8 verse 9. "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day." Amos prophesying exactly what happened. At noon, Jesus is hanging there on the cross. And suddenly, the sky goes dark and stays dark for about 3 hours. Now, right now, we can tell that the sun's shining through these windows. And if a cloud came between the sun, you know, they'd cloud up a little bit. But if you're sitting here and all of a sudden you looked out there and you think it was midnight, you'd sort of get anxious, nervous. What is going on? Amos, hundreds and hundreds of years before the crucifixion. So it's going to be dark from midnight from noon to 3 o'clock. Now, when you go back to Isaiah, let's look at verse 10 and verse 12. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him; he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin," again, "he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." And again in verse 12, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with transgressors, he bare the sin of many." Talks about being restored to favor, resurrection. See, all of this death was not the end. Jesus is alive. And Isaiah predicted it, prophesied it. He's going to live. And he's going to live forever with us and with the Holy Spirit, with the Heavenly Father. Jesus is alive. Verse 11 says, he will justify many, bear our iniquities. If you believe, you're going to be justified and made right with God. Go back to one verse we skipped a moment ago. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did see him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Forgiveness takes care of our sin problem. Peace takes care of our soul problem, our inner being. Healing takes care of our body. All because of what Jesus did on the cross. And if you look in Matthew 8, I think it's 17, you'll find where Matthew quotes this verse to say, they brought unto Jesus many who were sick. He healed them all. As it says in the prophet, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus is the answer. If today your problem is sin, lostness, you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you come to him and confess, I am a sinner and Jesus is the Savior, I believe in Jesus, I believe that he died for my sin, I believe that he rose again, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior, you can be saved. It's that simple. And Isaiah told us that. If you've got a troubled mind, a troubled heart, take it to Jesus. And he can give you peace. I know the devil gets on my case sometimes, and I need peace. But I know when I get quiet, doesn't mean that suddenly all my problems go away. But I know I've got my hand in somebody that's a lot bigger than I am. A lot more knowledgeable, a lot more powerful. And I also know that we can go to the Lord with our physical need. And Jesus will take care of it. Isaiah told us that. The New Testament affirms it. And I didn't even look at every phrase. You go back and look at every phrase and then start comparing it with things that are in the New Testament. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit, speaking to a man that didn't even understand what was going to take place, as they say in Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly. Isaiah saw it darkly. But boy, the Lord sure brightened it up when we get to the New Testament. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Is there anyone listening to my voice that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you're here in this building, would you just get up from where you are and walk down the aisle, and we'll talk to you about it in a moment. If you're in the parking lot, would you flag down one of the church members as they leave, and they'll pray with you. If you're on the website, would you get together with some other strong Christian or a minister? Let them talk to you about Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're listening, and whether in the building or the parking lot or the website, and you're struggling, there's no peace, take it to Jesus. Lay at his feet. He's the good shepherd who leads you into still waters, green pastures, and restores your soul. If you have physical frailties, things that you're battling, just acknowledge that Jesus is your healer. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus means to us. Means to us in our past, our present, and for all of our futures. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.